This podcast cannot nor should not be described as safe for work or minivan friendly. Listener discretion advised. Welcome, everybody, to Bastards Backstage. This is the interview show where you get to know a little bit more about your favorite bastards. I am your host, Freddie Fisher, and this is Mike. Mike's been on a couple shows as of late, both of the Rivals episode. He is more than welcome back anytime. Mike and I are friends, so we have the ability to... He has the ability to know of all the episodes that we have coming up in the future, and as long as there's a spot for him, there will always be a spot for him to join the show. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good.
We just got done doing the cartoon Rivals, and he also did the TV Rivals, so he got the ability to figure out on both ends meeting up in the finals, and you're gonna have to listen to those to see who won those. I'm not gonna go ahead and spoil it for you. We have about 25 or so questions here. Get to know a little bit more. Are you ready?
Yep.
The first question is an icebreaker. I love icebreaker questions. They have a tendency to put people on the back foot a little bit. How many square feet of pizza do you think you eat in a year?
64.
I was about 5 off from that.
I don't eat a lot, so it'd be 8. It'd be 8 feet of pizza.
Do you have a favorite topping or a place to go?
Here in Pella, I like to get, I know it's not a popular one, but I like to get Canadian bacon, sauerkraut, and pepperoni. I know in Oski there's a Reuben pizza. It's really good, but when it's like simple, I don't mind just keeping a pepperoni pizza with extra cheese and dip it in ranch like a Midwestern.
I know people who give me so much shit for that because I'll dip. I don't dip the pizza itself in ranch, but I'll take the crust just use ranch as a dip on that one as well. So many weird looks from that. My wife can't have ranch because of some of the stuff in it, and my oldest son doesn't like ranch. So all the ranch bottles, and I'll buy big ass bottles of ranch, are all right for me in the house. It's fucking fantastic.
I want to get the restaurant style stuff, like the in store stuff, is okay, but the restaurant style is where it's at.
You might be able to buy some if you go down to George's Pizza because they make their stuff there.
I know. I bought from Windmill Cafe. They have good ranch. So I bought ranch from there before. And just like when I used to work third shift, I got so sick and tired of breakfast food that I would literally, they're like, well, we could do a salad for you. And I would say, oh, hey, can you get me like a pint of ranch? Because then I could use that for like meals because I got so sick of breakfast sandwiches and burritos and all that stuff.
Freaking Windmill Cafe, their food is fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
Oh my
breakfast
God.
Is amazing too.
It's not super expensive, but it's also one of those things that you don't go to.
Right.
All the time.
Have you had a brunch buffet?
I have.
That is delicious. They got usually they have meatballs and stuff and like noodles and stuff, and it's just open salad bar. And I'm a rabbit when it comes to salad, so it's so good. But yeah,
One of my favorite times to eat pizza was back in the '90s. I'm a '90s kid. I was born in '86, so my time period, my age between the '90s was between the age of 4 and 14. Which is like the perfect grow-up period.
Were you born in 86?
Yep.
Older brother was too.
But one of the cool things about the 90s as opposed to like the N64 and a lot of the movies and so on and so forth was the music. So I'm going to ask you this one. What is your favorite 90s song?
Oh, it's easy. It's my favorite song of all time. It's The Wallflowers' One Headlight. 90s is my favorite genre of music. Third Eye Blind, you can go back to Blues Traveler. I mean, the Wallflowers, like Sixth Avenue Heartache. But yeah, One Headlight. It's just, for some reason, it was in the time of growing up and finding love. And all that, you know, just it was just something that always hit. It was the one song that I can always listen to, and it just brings me back.
Well, it was back in the 90s. What are you rocking out to now?
Kind of the same. I listen from anything to 60s, like the Hollies. I listen to like the old Rolling Stones. I listen to like Ted Nugent. I go up to like Foreigner. I go all the way up to like T.I., like Chameleon Air, kind of like to that 2010 like hip hop, you know, stuff. So I love soundtrack music. Anything that's basically just good to me is, and I even got into a little bit of country. I'm not a huge country fan, but I like some of it. I do like some Christian music too as well. I'm kind of all over the place. I went through a trance phase and I still love it. I like some techno, some dubstep. Music is like one of the biggest things that helps me, like, just, I guess with my ADHD stuff, I can put it on and I can kind of just relax. Even if it's really up tempo, it's something that just takes my mind away.
Have you ever seen the movie The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Okay. On Spotify, they have the entire soundtrack to that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's some of the most melodic music. And if you love the movie like me too, you can kind of picture a lot of the stuff that goes on in the movie while you're listening to it. But it's all background music because it doesn't really go with it. And it's absolutely fantastic. When I get my hammock back up, I've been working in the backyard all freaking day today. But when I get my hammock back up, that's one of those albums I'm planning on putting along and just like falling asleep in the sun type thing. That's my entire thing.
I love that stuff. I honestly, anything that just kind of lets you zoom off and not think about things, especially in today's world, is just beautiful. I listen to a lot. It gets crazy because like when I go to bed at night, usually it's got headphones on, phones off, because I don't like to have screen time anymore because I realize that doesn't work. So I put on Bob Ross. And so I listen to him painting and I do listen to a little ASMR stuff, nothing weird. I found some of the stuff kind of freaky, but basically just like people giving like collegiate talks and anything that can help with anxiety and stuff. I have a lot of things. So especially if anybody ever needs links to something, I mean, I found very good ways of, I have no problem sleeping because I can now turn my brain off, and it's nice. It really is. And so I'll definitely check out the Princess Bride soundtrack because I love soundtracks. So,
well, one of my favorite things to talk about in general with people, and I kind of wish you were here when Harvey was here. I'm pretty sure you've heard us mention Harvey in the past as far as the show goes. And he has his own show that is dedicated to men's mental health.
Oh, that's great.
Type thing. That's what he went off and does, and he's a life coach now and everything else, and more power to him. But I am a huge advocate for like men's mental health because it's something that's not really talked a lot.
No, we keep it about in. No, a lot of people keep it in
a lot. Yeah, and I have the mentality where if you keep bottling it down, you're going to explode, and you're either going to explode. You're either going to explode physically, like your body's just going to rot from the inside, mm-hmm. or you're going to explode on somebody else. And either one of those are both extremely detrimental to the ones that you love, because either you die or you deck them.
Right.
And that's how guys usually work. And there's been a lot more talk about men's mental health and what we go through, especially as dads and so on and so forth, in today's world. But for our fathers and our uncles and stuff like that, especially like the war heroes and everything else who have been growing up with that mentality, that they can't really share anything, because if you share something, you're going to be seen as weak.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I appreciate you talking openly about issues and stuff like that. Moving on to the next question. How do you describe the color yellow to a blind man?
Wow. That's a really great question.
This is literally a Google job interview question.
Okay, so I would explain it as they see black. They see dark. I mean, that's what they see. They don't see, unless it, you know, they're partially blind. We're talking fully blind, nothing, right?
The question is completely up to you.
Okay. So I'm going to go with it with completely blind and say that and white would be a better circumstance to say, because it's completely opposite with when you, so with a black, like they see, they don't see anything, but maybe they can see things in their brain. They can see things in their mind. They can come up with things. They've been told what they can told, be told what colors are, and maybe can kind of figure that out a little bit. But I think it's still, you can't figure it out until you see it. I would say yellow is just almost, it's just a brightness. It's not like white. I would think yellow would be, it's, oh my goodness, that is so tough. I would say it's just thinking when, like, if it's something's dark, well, yellow is something's bright. It's the opposite. It's the opposite spectrum, which obviously white would be like a blaringly light, you know, but yellow is very, very bright in its own way, because I think the sun, even though the sun is, you know, not yellow. I don't know. I think that's the best way to put, I could say to put it is, like, it's just, it's a bright, like, you see everything dark, but when you see something that's yellow, white, whatever it is, it's going to be, instead of, you know, your eyes will be open, and your eyes will be, it'll make you squint, but it's going to be something that would be, I don't know, it's very, that's a really good question. I honestly can't completely answer that.
Sticking on color theory after that one, you are a new crayon in a new box. What color are you and why?
Orange. Orange is my favorite color. I don't know why. I think it was, I'm left-handed, I'm right-brained. I'm a little out there. Obviously, you've seen my comments. Yeah. I like to make people laugh, and it was like, like a burnt orange on a car is just, and a nice black on a, you know, what, a burnt orange or just a regular orange, for some reason that color just, if it feels like it makes me feel happy, it also, it doesn't give me, like, I would say, like, certain colors that give me anxiety. I just think it's a very nice color. So if that, you know, orange, or I like chrome too, mix of those, like an orange and chrome something. I don't know why. I couldn't explain it. There's probably a psychology behind it. I was a psychology major for a little bit, and that didn't work. But and now I have an accounting degree. I would say I'm an orange.
One of my favorite colors in this world is, the reason I say this is because a lot of your responses on that one have a little bit more of an automotive feel to it, especially with the chrome. You know that color that, when you look at it far away, it's like a black car. Yeah. But the closer you get to it, it's like a really, really ridiculously deep purple.
Yes, my car, my brother had a Cutlass Supreme Classic. It looked black when you got close. It had specks, and so it shined off. But when you got close, it was like almost like a, it was like purple brownish. It was a beautiful, yeah. So that's, I understand that.
That's one of my favorite colors of all time.
I agree. That's beautiful.
You are a recent addition to the Bastardhood family, which kind of leads to a whole bunch of different fun type things to do. But what is the funniest thing that has ever happened to you that you can legally talk about?
So, like, when I was 12, we went up to my, so I'm a Vikings fan, but for football. It was my dad, my mom, and my brother. We all went up for a family vacation in August to go see the Packers training camp. And we went into the peninsula of Michigan just to kind of drive around and whatever. And there was a town called Iron Mountain. And I just remember, like, being 12, walking through this mall, and this guy comes up to me, and I'm with my dad. And he goes, "Hey, can I interview you?" And so I look at my dad like, "Okay." So he starts to talk about, they're having their, like, state fair. It was in August and stuff. And they're going to have their state fair for Michigan. And he just wanted to get questions on people. And he goes, "What's your name?" And I said, "Bob." And it just blurted out. it's kind of like when I blur out my "that's what she said," it just comes out, and I've gotten better over the years because I try not to say that. So he could, and I think for some reason, I don't know if I thought of like Karate Kid or something, but he goes, "Well, what's your last name?" I said, "Danielson." I said, "My name is Bob Danielson." Not even close. And I looked at my dad, and I've never seen him laugh so hard in his life. Like, he's kind of a straight arrow guy, but he's just like turning away laughing. And this 6'5" guy, tall guy, laughing. And then he starts asking me questions about the fair. And I said, "Well, what's your favorite part about it?" I said, "Well, I guess the food." I have no idea about their fair. I have no idea what's going on. I have a lot of scam calls that I go with people, like the Jerry Seinfeld thing where he goes, "Well, you don't like people talking to you at home either." Well, no. And then so neither do I. Well, I have a lot of those too, where I just like to stay on the line with scam calls and people that are trying to sell me stuff because it's just fun. But anyway, so I went to stay in town that night. My mom and my dad, we had to keep going. And I said, "I want to stay in town," because he said I was going to be in the newspaper. I want to get the newspaper and bring it home. And I never got that. But I always thought it was one of the funniest things because my dad said, "I don't know how you kept a straight face like that." And that's one reason why I always thought I can make people laugh and like I can, you know, not break character and stuff. I just like, and I love, that came to it where I was like, I always wanted to be funny, I guess. And the whole, you know, thing was just, I love not, and I don't want to be mean to people. I don't want to lie. But at the same time, it's like, if I get an opportunity of like something like that and just, I can create a different, like, you know, name, personality, and just kind of be fun with it. It makes life funnier. I like making people laugh, and I like seeing them happy. So I guess that was a really funny time. There's a lot more. My brother, the really quick one, my brother, we're down in Arkansas, and I guess it wasn't mine. It was more of like, I was with him, but it was me and my brother and his, wife at the time, we're still wife. And we were at a 24-hour diner, and there was like nobody there. It was like 1 a.m. I'm like 19, 20. He's 25. And so this lady's just mopping, and we're on hard seats, like McDonald's seats. And our family is known for farting like Nutty Professor guys at the table. And so he just leans, and I know it's coming. And so he rips it. I mean, it sounds like the whole, just a rip in the space-time continuum. Like, it's just, and we were done eating, but Remy, his wife, wasn't done. And the lady looked at him that was mopping, just stopped, dead stare, looked at him. And I was like, I started laughing so hard. She goes, and she's done eating. Like, she can't eat anymore. And I'm crying laughing because it's like, you never get to experience that every day. Like, it was just such a great moment where it was like, I hope he didn't crap his pants. But it was such a just rip sounding on those hard seats. And it just, it's one of those things where I think back and I laugh at to this day. So that's a couple of them.
Those chairs echo too. Oh yeah, my goodness. Those are.
It depends, especially in the restaurant where it's just like, it's off the walls. Everything, that lady felt the full force of sound.
That's funny. You talked about your dad a little bit right there, and your brothers and so on and so forth. Polling your family and friends, what would they say that you're most known for?
Well, growing up, I was a golfer. I would say my humor. I mean, I hate to go through life and each day. I work at Vermeer Factory, so shout out to them. And throughout the day, I find ways of just, I like to make people laugh, and sometimes it's kind of detrimental to myself because I feel sometimes like a Robin Williams where I'm. It's like kind of a depression thing where like I take medicine for things, and so I'll talk about that. It's fine, and for anxiety. But what I take for medicine and what I give for them feels like medicine when they laugh and they enjoy, and I listen to them talk, and I can hear their words, hear their stories and stuff. And I like to make people happy because it's like laughing, or whether it's just smiling and stuff, it really does. It brightens my day, and I know it helps people because they like to be heard. So
I always tell people, because they ask me, and I don't know why they keep asking me this, because I give them the same answer every time, but they ask me why I started the podcast, because it is kind of a random thing to do.
Yeah.
I tell them, it's like, well, it's cheaper than therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Which it is. I mean, we just got done with the show, and it was 3 hours long, and
I loved it.
We laughed through the entire show.
I brought in Patrick. I brought in my Homer mask that I bought for $20 up in Des Moines. When I bought that, somebody said, I'm so jealous because I really wanted that. And I can't even breathe in that. I cut holes in it, and I still went with my daughter to Halloween, and I couldn't breathe. I was sweating, and it's so hard.
You seem to be a very open person. Yeah. There's not a lot of topics that you're going to shy away from and everything else. I can sense that. I'm the same way in a lot of things. But what is one question that you will never answer in public? We're not looking for the answer to the question because, again, this is public.
Oh, that was tough when you're open. Okay. Here, give me a couple seconds. If somebody asked me, who out of your family do you love the most? I know it's a kind of cop out because I have no problem discussing my faith. I have no problem talking to people about certain things. I've been to the bottom of the barrel. I've hit rock bottom a lot. And that's one thing I kind of like, is I've been humbled so much that I can talk with the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. I don't have a problem with that. I don't judge because I've been there. So that's something that, like, you know, even part of my family doesn't understand because, you know, they're not wealthy, but it's a thing that's like, well, somebody said, well, who out of your family do you love the most? Well, it's like, well, yeah, obviously I'd say my daughter, you know, because that's an easy one. I don't know. I guess there's certain political things. So I'll just say there's certain political things, and I won't say them, that I wouldn't probably want certain people to know, because they would, in my family or just friends wise, like, everybody has their own viewpoints. And it just seems to create like a war when you don't agree. And I think that some of those political viewpoints are just mine, and they should be mine. And I keep them to myself, and I just go with that. So,
welcome everyone to Bracket Bastards, your podcast where up to 7 panelists take a tournament of various topics and banter it down to a winner. Fun, favorites, and some other F words come up, so please, listener discretion advised. Bracket Bastards drops every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., wherever you get your podcast fix. That question has a tendency to bring the conversation down a little bit. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I have a question next up to bring it back up. Either way, a penguin waddles through your doorway wearing a sombrero.
Oh my gosh.
What does he say to you, and why is he there?
I don't care why he's there. He says, hello, good sir, and I give him the biggest hug in the world. And then I say, are you cold? Are you hot? And then I might give him a cold bath, and then I would call somebody that can get him out. But at the same time, if he's comfortable at my house, I'm keeping him, because the penguins are cute as hell.
A lot of people do the entire two truths and a lie. I don't like it. I personally think that it's been done way too much. And a lot of people already know what their responses are going to be before the question is even asked. So I'm going to flip it on its ear a little bit.
Okay.
How about two lies and a truth? Two things that are about you that are complete fabrications that might be true, and one truth that a lot of people would not expect.
All right. I have a 12-inch penis. I've been on Wheel of Fortune. And as crazy as it sounds, maybe I teach Sunday school.
There we go. I don't know the answer to those. Which one's the truth? Which one's a lie for people? Guess. So, I could probably guess. But I don't officially know. He hasn't told me. He will not tell me. So don't come at me asking which is which. So, you're you're a fan of like movies and cartoons and a whole bunch of media stuff out there. So
yeah,
if you could pick any character from any medium, books, movies, TV, and so on and so forth, to be, who would you want to be and why?
Honestly, I'm just trying to think of like a character that has a sugar mama and doesn't have to do anything. And a lot of shows are the opposite. So, I'll stick with Jim from The Office. If I had to go with animated, I would probably go with like Patrick, because from SpongeBob, he doesn't seem like he has to do anything. And for some reason, he still just has his own house, and I don't know how he pays for it. But he got a job at the Krusty Krab like once and worked there for like, what, a day? And has a best friend and just gets to do whatever. So I think that would be like some of the best, would be just living free down there, just having fun. So it's like, I mean, I think that'd be kind of like escape. So yeah, I'm going to go with Patrick Starr. I got it.
Money being a very hot topic nowadays, how would you spend $1 million on yourself?
Does investing some of it count?
However you want to spend it.
I will invest half of that, let it grow. The other, my mom, they already have a decent house, but I would pay them a little bit because they've helped me out a lot. My mom and stepdad, they've been through me through my darkest times. So I would pay them. I would pay some for my brother. I really support St. Jude's. So I would probably give some to that, but, and I'd get myself a car, cause I don't drive right now. So, I would get myself a car, nothing fancy. I don't want anything fancy. I just want something that works. But I've grown to not be too big on material things. I mean, I have a PS4 and that seems to be like my biggest prized possession for like material things. And I just like to get on there and play once in a while, but I don't do a lot of materialistic things. I used to golf a lot. I'd probably be looking out for family that's been there. So,
speaking of family, if you could join a fictional family, and that means join and not replace somebody, what family would you want to join?
American Dad. It's the family part, like, you know, like I thought Futurama was like, they're not really, like, you can say they're a family, but they're not. I mean, other than, you know, Fry and his, not uncle, but his great nephew. American Dad, I think it would just be chaotic, but it'd be fun with Roger and, I don't know, they just seem to make me laugh. Like, they all seem to have their own things. I would join The Simpsons, but there's a bunch of kids there. I mean, I want some, you know, it would be something more like fun to have a little bit older. FS for Family, I thought about, and then I was like, hell no, because that would be disaster. So no, I think I'm going to go for American Dad.
Who was your celebrity crush as a teenager?
Mariah Carey, and it became Jenna Fisher. It did, but as a teenager, the Southern Music video, We Belong Together, and I was like, holy crap. And then I listened to a lot of, like, when my parents had a business, they had up in Des Moines, it was like Star 102.5, and it played a lot of Mariah Carey, 90s music and stuff. And I loved her voice, and I still do. I have a lot of Mariah Carey on my Spotify. That's definitely my celebrity crush growing up.
I believe in goals. I don't care if they're small goals, big goals. Just as long as you have something in mind that you're continually growing towards every single day. Being stagnant is not really an option in life. So in 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year time periods, what do you want to accomplish?
1 year, I'd like to get a car again. I sound like a bum saying that, but like I said, I hit rock bottom and I'm coming back up. 5 years, find a place that I could buy and not be renting. In 10 years, maybe settle down again if everything goes right. But my plan is not to get married again, but who knows? So simple goals, but they could happen.
I'm a fan of words. As a podcaster, I use words all the time. I talk a lot. There are hundreds of thousands of words in the English language, not to mention that the other hundreds of thousands of other languages out there that have words. We're going to talk about three of them today, though. Number one, what is your favorite word?
So, have you ever seen Tourette's guy on YouTube?
No.
So, instead of saying, God damn it, he says, oh, Bob Saget.
So does Q.
Yeah, we definitely grew up in the same period. Bob Saget, like, I will say that at work nonstop, and nobody gets it, and I don't care. I don't care that they don't. It feels good to say it, and it just, I know guys at work that know it. Like, I have a group leader at work that just quotes it nonstop too, and so it just, I don't care. I know he passed. It's just like, oh, Bob Saget. Like, it just feels way better. And it feels way harsher, even though it's just a regular name. So,
what is your least favorite word?
There's a few. I will say the F word for gay. I don't like that. Maybe the N word too, but I listen to a lot of rap that doesn't play the hard R on it. But so it's not like that offensive to me, because, you know, obviously I'm not going to say it, but, you know, they say it. Like, a lot, I like a lot of Jay-Z, but I don't know, just hearing somebody say full on the F word for gay, just for some reason, just makes me cringe. It really does. And it's not that, like, I, you know, I'm a supporter and whatever, like, I have no problem, but it just, that word, I don't know, for some reason, just, you know, I've had friends that are, and that, you know, it does not sit well with me, I guess.
There's not a lot of good connotations for it either, which is the problem. It's another word for a bundle of sticks, but it's not used in that context. Or a cigarette as
I,
well, I over
heard that from an English person, and they use that, yeah. And I did not feel any, because it's like, you have to go out and smoke me, you know, it's like, no problem. That's how they, you know, that's how they talk.
Yeah. Last part of this question, and tends to be the favorite one of others, with the exception of fuck, because I don't consider fuck a swear word. What is your favorite swear word?
It's usually fuck.
I know. That's why I take it away from people.
That's so good. That's so good that you did that. It's probably shit. I mean, it's such an easy, like, my grandma says it. Like, she goes, oh, shit. And it's just like, I don't think anything of it. Like, it doesn't seem like even, I don't even say hell is a bad word. I mean, just, I will say, if I can add a mother onto the F word, that's one of my favorites. But I'll say shit, and that's like the low version of fuck. Like, if I get just like, usually at work, it's ah, fuck. Like, it's a perfect, like, comes out just like right off the tongue. But shit would be my other one. Or I'll just make up something usually, but Bob Saget's good too. I mean, I'm just using Bob Saget. I like that one too. And I'll put that in, like, I don't say Jesus Christ. That's probably one that I don't use at all. It just comes off as, like, not arrogant, but ignorant, because there's so many people that don't believe, and then they just say it, and it's like, well, why are you even saying it? Because you know, it's like, it just doesn't make sense, and I don't know. It's something that, like, it's weird, because you know, it just doesn't make sense, but I can see why, because it became, culturally, it became kind of like a cuss word in a way, so it's like, to each their own, but if I hear that, I kind of cringe too, but I don't say anything, because it's not me. Like, people do what they want. It's as long as they're not saying some nasty stuff right in front of my daughter, then it's a work situation, people talking, I'm not somebody to jump in. It's not my deal.
Speaking of work, knowing that you wouldn't fail at it, what would your dream job be?
Skydiving. That's all I wanted. I want to do, to be a skydiving instructor. I love kind of the unlimited, the feeling of your stomach just getting dropped. I've been on it wasn't right with Quentin, but I was there at the same time. It's a world of fun. And we went to the same youth group. So we were down in Kansas City together, and I went with a couple guys, and it was like a, ripcord thing where it just drops you. And it was the greatest feeling of I felt, and I want to just skydive really bad. And maybe that wouldn't be it if I did it and I didn't like it somehow, but I like the thrill, but I don't like something that's, I want to make sure it's going to be safe-ish. This is really going to be really boring. Running a golf course and just mowing greens and just Hank Hill style, just mowing down fairways and being relaxed with a cigar in my mouth. I mean, I don't know. I know it's a complete opposite. I'll do either or.
I say one has to do with the sky, the other one has to do with the ground.
I know. I'm into it both. I wouldn't bungee jump though. Bungee jump for some reason just it's that jolt at the bottom. I want to just be free falling, and a little bit of a jolt of a parachute, that's fine. But I like heights. I like seeing the world. I'd like to travel. I guess. Okay, I'm gonna put this on number one. Never mind. I quit all of it. Anthony Bourdain and Andrew Zimmern. Andrew Zimmern, he went around and eating weird food. I have no foods I don't like. And he goes to see all the kind of world, and he gets to try all these different foods and see cultures, and he gets to meet with them, and they accept him in because he's just he becomes kind of one of them. I'm so jealous of even though he eats bad food sometimes, he even doesn't like. It just seems such he gets to go eat food, he gets to travel, he gets to see the world, and he's such a great guy, and it's just, I feel like I would be so, happy just to be able to go around the world and meet different types of people from different nations, even if I had a translator, but just to see the world while eating food, because he always said food's one of the things that brings people together, and it really is.
Well, on the flip side of that one, then, what would be a job that you just wouldn't want to have?
I'm not going back to Yarsma.
not shouting them out.
No, they have great donuts, but the back part is run like a sweatshop, and people are nasty. But no, the job I would not, and I don't care. But the job I wouldn't want to probably have is I would never want once again be in retail. And I have the most utmost respect for. I worked at Culver's for a little bit. I worked at Mahaska Drug in Oskaloosa. At Mahaska Drug, I wore a tie, I wore the dress shirt and everything. And I got to deliver to some older people, and it was so great to spend time with them. I go 6:30 at night, and I'd get to see one lady certain. I would always watch Wheel of Fortune with her because her husband had passed away before, and there's two chairs there. It was nice to do that, but customer service wise, it's a different breed. It's so hard sometimes to help everybody, and I honestly think that people should have to work 6 months in customer service before they go to college or before they do anything, because it's getting to know how people feel about things. It's getting to know, it's knowing how to react with people, knowing how to deal with their problems and fix them. It's a resolution, kind of problem solving, but at the same time, you have to really know how to talk to people, and some people don't know how to do that. And I think that would be, that'd be the worst job again. And I don't want to do that.
Who or what inspires you in life?
I'd say God. God, if I'm going to go with a certain person, so I'll say God, but I'm going to go like a little bit in more in detail with another person. My mom does, but really, like, if I'm going to go with celebrity, Kobe Bryant. And so I called myself like the White Mamba. And he went through some rape allegations and things like that in 2004. But he had this, what was called Mamba mentality. He was known to work harder than anybody else on the floor, basketball-wise, just to practice and never stop. He always was against teammates to say, hey, you have to work harder. It was such a, and I saw it. It was like before the NBA kind of died, just lost defense, whatever. He was on there all the time, just going. He had no quit. There's so much of a drive. And what got me too is when he passed and he had his daughter with him, it was like it made me bawl, because it was like he went from this like kind of a punk teenager going to the NBA to making a mistake, and he came up from it, which is what I respected, to being like a loving dad, a great father. And he was just on the way to go support his daughter in a basketball game. And yeah, a lot of people might kind of piss and moan at that, but he resembled like not giving up no matter what. And I love that about him.
What shuts you down?
Hate people that are mean for no reason. Before we got on the podcast, I'm sure you probably heard of Rocket League, maybe on it's like a soccer/car game on PlayStation. I play it here and there, and it's a bunch of younger kids, and they just say you're trash and all this stuff, and it's like, I'm like, you know, it's so hard to try to find. I just want to play something that would get me I'll play stuff on my phone more, because it's like it used to be more interactive stuff where, like, you know, people work together and I've got friends, but it's like, you know, I just hate to see like toxic people, and I don't say anything back because it's not going to get me anywhere. But I just, what brings me down is seeing the world when they're negative. I don't like negativity. Today I walked up to Casey's and I had to get a couple packs of smokes. And it was nice to see, you know, kids were out and people, you know, would wave and say hi to me when I'd walk by. And positivity is so great. Negativity gets me down so bad, because when people displace their anger, I think it's the number one thing that gets me down, is because it's not really your fault, but they put it on you like it is. And when people don't apologize for that, that's the number one thing that, you know, it ruins your day. Their day's already ruined. And they ruin your day. No fault of your own, most of the time. But you're just there to take it. Because sometimes I'm one of the people that just can sit there and I can take it. But I will go off and then be down to myself. And I want to see more positivity in the world, because it's really bad right now. And I would say negativity is probably the worst.
Assuming heaven exists, what do you want God to say to you, or what do you want to say to God when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I'm sorry I was such an asshole. Seriously. I messed up a lot, and I do believe in heaven. And I'm one of the weird people that I feel like I don't believe in hell. I feel like the demon is just basically this world right now that sometimes is, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people that will go to heaven that are very just, they don't have to be just good people, but like good-hearted, trying their best in this shitty world. I'd ask a pastor and say, hey, you think a 10-year-old's gonna go to heaven or hell? Well, they'll go to heaven. I was like, well, what's the age cutoff here? Because if they don't know about God, but they're gonna, you know, so that kind of stuff. It's like, well, I think a lot of people will, and I think a lot of people will be happy when they see it. And it heaven to me and heaven to other people. It might be something else. Nobody knows. So it might be just complete pure bliss to people. I don't know yet. So I don't fear death, but, and I know it's not the question, but I think that if God is there, he's going to say, like, I basically forgive you for all the crap you've done, because everybody has been horrible at times in their life, and I think there's just I like to believe that there's a better place beyond it.
Assuming you're dead at this point.
Yeah.
What do you want written on your tombstone? Or if you don't want a tombstone, because a lot of people don't want it for multiple reasons, what do you want your last words to be?
That's what she said probably wouldn't work, because my daughter would be like, well, that's horrible. But I would say make people laugh. Take care of yourself.
If you had the ears of the world at one time, what would you want to say to them? What would be your soapbox moment?
Or is it worth it? Love everybody as themselves. And there's no fighting. There should be no fighting against religion. Just basically, it's so simple to say, but they don't do it. Treat people as you'd like to be treated. Everybody wants to be treated right. Everybody wants to be, like, held, hugged, being told, like, not everybody, I guess, but most people just want to be, I would say everybody actually, want to be treated right, and they would have a different mindset on life. And it's, I don't know, I think that, you know, even hugs, certain things, just telling people they love them, strangers, just, it's disgusting right now, I guess. I think that it's getting worse and worse and worse, and I want unity.
Final question.
Okay.
Where can people find you?
In my bathroom. Sorry.
Where the acoustics are the best.
Dude, I think I have hemorrhoids by now.
Only if you push. I mean,
I'm not pushing. I'm not even sitting. I have the seat down. they can find me on Facebook, Mike Van Engelhoven, or Michael. I go by Michael. My mom would kill me if I just went by Mike. And I do like Michael, but friends, I usually go by Mike, so that's why I'm on here. Michael Van Engelhoven, MichaelVanEngelhoven. It was too quick, I know, but, and then you can find me on Bracket Bastards, because I definitely want to appear again. And if I'm not on there, I will be in comments, and hope you'll join me, because I'll be making really stupid and funny comments, because I do that way better when I'm not on camera, because I can think of way better stuff. I'm not going to recite the 50 first dates thing, but you can go check that out. Because that's not making it on. And I already knew when you said that. I was like, okay, I don't care if it doesn't make it on. I just want to make you guys laugh. And that's all I care about.
I can't read that. Come on, Mike.
Dude, you read the Kim Jong one, and you're like, I should probably read these before I say them out loud. That one wasn't even that bad.
No.
But I love you guys. I love you guys. It's just, it's fun. It's, you guys are all good-hearted. Just, it doesn't matter who wins the bracket or whatever. Like, we can agree, we can disagree, and I love, and that's what I love. I love voting, I love brackets, I love, like, that kind of stuff. And I told you that in the beginning. And I just, it's fun to just have fun with you guys. Like, when I went off camera earlier for like 10 minutes, I literally was like searching for Homer, Mr. Krabs, everything. I was like freaking out trying to find them all for you guys, just so I could put them on and just make you laugh. Like, now they're all in my bathroom. I gotta go clean them probably, but get them in the, you know, they're not dirty, but I don't know why I said that. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun, and I really plan on having a lot more fun with you guys.
Well, like I said, you're welcome back anytime. The people love you. I am Freddie Fisher. You can find me at that on Facebook. While you're on Facebook, check out Bracketology. We have two polls going up every single day. I'm on Twitter at Fisher777. We're all at BracketPod. And as always, on Instagram at Can't Lick Me. Not one word. I will leave this show the same way I leave every other backstage interviews, and that with the immortal words of somebody who I don't fucking know who it was, but I say it is okay to be a bastard. Just don't be a
The opinions expressed in this podcast are meant to be comical and may be controversial in nature. We at Bracket Bastards fully admit that not all of these facts will be correct, but we do attempt to be as accurate as possible. By using this podcast, be aware that this will be used for entertainment purposes only. Bracket Bastards aim to provide a loving parody to all the movies, music, and other media that we love and enjoy. Much love and respect to all the wonderful humans that pour their blood, sweat, and tears into the making of this pop culture we get to discuss. As well, please note that although we are all bastards, what one bastard says may not be true for the rest. Some of us live the gimmick a bit too well. And as always, thank you for listening.